in the 57th Psalms, Psalm of David. I'd like to read all 11 verses, and then we're going to take our thought from the 7th verse. But David wrote this. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, and unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, in the midst of whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah." And in verse 7 it says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp, and myself I will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and the truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth." And while you're standing, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to be here, Lord, this evening. What a great honor it is, Lord, not for me, but to stand, Lord, in the presence of these folks and to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we just pray that you'll be in the Word this evening, Lord, that you'll be in the hearts this evening, Lord, that you'll just lead us and guide us and encourage us and challenge us and do all of those blessed things that only the Holy Spirit can do, the works that need to be done inside of our lives. Lord, we thank you for this word that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this place that we come together to worship you in spirit and truth. And God, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus, who is the center and the purpose of all of these things. Lord, these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. And if you'll be seated, I want to bring a simple thought this evening from the 7th verse. David said it. He said, "My heart is fixed." Now, I'm going to give you a little bit about this. I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine, Brother Roger Penix, and I really only have three simple points tonight, and I'll try not to be before you very long, I promise. But David, when he wrote this, was in a predicament. David was being pursued by Saul. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you were on the wrong side of human resources or your management, or maybe you had offended somebody in your family and somebody felt like they were pursuing you and you were going to have to make peace with them. David was in that to a thousandth degree more. He was being pursued by the king. He had put the army, the people out. They were turning over rock. They were looking in the forest. They were trying to find David that they might kill him. They had no peace offering in mind. They were going to take his life. And David, who was young, was certain of the danger he was in. David, in that moment, he looked to God and he trusted God and he talked about the great refuge and the great confidence that he could place in God. And he looked upon him and he said, "God, you know, really, although all the world around me is shaken, and all of the foundations that should be there, you know, they've been disrupted. I can look to you and I can fix my heart upon certain facts." Now, I had the privilege, and I didn't know it would be the last time I'd ever speak to him, but I had the privilege on February the 14th, on Valentine's Day. I had traveled to Winston-Salem, and I had two choices when I was in Winston-Salem. I went to see a former customer and just a lunch meeting, and as I was coming back, Pastor, I could either have went to see Brother Jeff Castle, who we talked about, or I just felt led on the way back, and I stopped by to see my friend Brother Roger Penix. And some of y'all have met Brother Roger. He was just a wonderful man. He pastored Welcome Door Baptist Church for 45 years. When he went to help someone, he helped them entirely. And as I sat with Brother Roger for what I didn't know would be the last time, we talked for about 45 minutes or so, and he told me about preaching from this very text just before, and it was probably one of the last messages he ever brought. And he talked about how we can have confidence in having our heart fixed upon the things of God. And this man, who was such a blessing to me and to the others around us, he had lived his life in the confidence that we can share that Jesus is enough. And then when the world around us says we don't know how, and they're wringing their hands, and everybody's perplexed and what have you, we can look with confidence towards heaven and say that the God who created this earth is still maintaining this earth. He still loves His children, and He still will take care of us. And Brother Larry, I know that you're facing some difficult circumstances, my friend, but God can take care of you in the most difficult days. And Brother Anthony, before my feet hit the ground this morning, I was praying for you and your situation with your daughter. And God can work that out. In fact, He may be the only one that can work that out. And Brian and Kim and the difficulties they've been in, and Mount Moriah Church down here, which doesn't have a pastor, and appreciate Brother Coulter and others that are helping them. God can make a way. And when the world is on our trail and trying to destroy us, we can look towards heaven. And I want to give you three things this evening. Well, just in the thought of my heart is fixed. The first thing I tell you tonight, and I'm saying this from 40 years of knowing Christ as my Savior, is my salvation is fixed in Christ alone. My salvation is fixed in Christ alone. I appreciated these ladies that sang tonight, and wow, what talent that we have here in this church. And I appreciate what the pastor said. We are saved by faith. But man, isn't it good to feel it sometimes? And to know that the love of God just pours down upon us and overflows and causes us to weep and to rejoice and to want to share with people and to serve God and to do those things. And I'm telling you from my own personal testimony that God is alive and He lives in our soul and He speaks to us through His Word, and that by the grace that He's extended to us, we can be saved. And we can walk in the footsteps that God has placed for us, and we can know that when we pass from this life into life eternal, that we will go on to be with the Savior. Not that we deserve it, but because He loved us so much that He paid the price upon Calvary that we might go there free from our sins. I thought about the testimony of Brother Roger as Brother Wayne and Cindy and myself participated in his funeral on Wednesday. And time after time after time, Pastor, they talked about the simple truth of knowing a Savior that is presented in the Word of God. The simple truth about the fact that each one of us is a sinner who deserves nothing greater than to join the devil that rebelled and disobeyed God in a devil's hell forever. But that God, because of His infinite love towards us, made a way that through the cross of Calvary and through the burden and the sacrifice of His Son upon the cross, His resurrection and His great love for us has made a way that we might be saved. Do we ever stop and think about the price that was paid? We can fix our heart upon the love of God, knowing that He didn't spare His own Son, but that He took Him all the way to the cross of Calvary that He might die for our sins. I tell you, when you begin to look at the loving God that we have and the divine plan that He has from the beginning of the world, that man might know Him as our Savior, that man might have eternal peace and a holy relationship, a proper relationship with a holy God, it's just amazing to think about that. We look at the world around us today, and I don't want to be overcomplicated in this, and please don't take it in the wrong context. But we live in a world today that is all messed up. And you know, you can blame it on whatever you want. I don't really care what the cause is. And in fact, a lot of times it's very different causes. But the fact of the matter is this one universal truth, that we can look towards God for salvation in complete confidence according to His Word, and know that according to His Word, He who cannot lie told us that we can know that we have life eternal. We can have that peace, that confidence, the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The pastor asked this morning, he said, maybe at some point we'd talk a little bit about what goes on at Northeast Correctional Facility. And I'm glad to join Brother Mike Brown and some of the Rock of Ages men and different men that go. And Pastor, had a chance to go with Brother Wayne to the Duffield jail as well. And the Duffield Jail is a place where there's a lot of men, and it's a little more open and what have you. When you go to Northeast Correctional Facility, and Pastor, I know you've been to this place and places that were worse than this. It is a prison. And when you go in, it's incredibly, incredibly complicated to get in. You sign, You don't have a pass. They look at your picture. They find your pass if you're supposed to be there. They check your ID. You go through doors. You go through metal detectors, and you step to one door, and it opens. You step through, it closes behind you. One in front of you opens, and then you walk across the complex, and there's razor wire, and you go to another location and pastor, and then you sit on a bench, and you wait, and then they bring the inmates who want to be in the service down to you, and they put you in a room with these men. And Brother Ike, when we went last week, there were six, I think, that were there. They came in, they sat in little chairs, you know, at a desk like in a classroom. The guard leaves you behind. He goes outside, and he's not that far away, but you're with these men. And there was a lady I had lunch with this week I used to work with. Brother Wayne, she said, "What do? You tell them about Jesus Christ. You tell them about the only power I know on the face of this earth that can change an eternal destiny." Amen. We can fix our hope. We can fix our salvation. We can fix our beliefs. We can fix everything that's foundational to our life on the fact that God has a Son. His name is Jesus Christ. And from the time that he was born, the world has tried to destroy him, tried to destroy his testimony, tried to distract the church, tried to throw us off track. But we can be fixed upon this fact that Jesus came that we might have life. Amen? The second thing I'm going to tell you tonight is David said in verse 7, he said, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." I began to think about the fact that, again, 40 years ago, I got saved. I wasn't looking for God when he was looking for me. And I'm glad that he knew where I was, and he changed my life, changed my heart, changed my interest, and what have you. He absolutely used in me the definition of a man who was born again. Now, I was young, Pastor, and I hadn't walked, you know, out in a lot of ways. But there was a change on that day that I can never forget. And as I speak to these men in jail, and as I speak to people in the hospital going to ICU, and you talk with the homeless and what have you, you need to be able to go back in your life to a place where your life changed, where the old things passed away and everything became new again. And if you can't go back to that place, then you need to ask, what is my faith? What is my faith based upon? And I'm glad tonight that we can look towards heaven and that we can place our faith not only in the salvation of God, but that he will change our life through the power of his word. If you would, I want you to turn with me in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I want you to see what Jesus had to say about the life-changing power and the priorities that we ought to have in our life. You know, it seems like every place you go, there's a program for this and a program for that, and somebody that's going to fix this. And if you'll do this different, then you know everything will be okay. But God's Word has given us a remedy, not only for sin, but for the complications of life. And I will tell you that people ask me sometimes, what is my favorite section of the Bible? You know, what's my favorite verse? And we all have those things inside of us. And Pastor, I'm going to tell you, one of the scariest verses in all of the Word of God is right here in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want you to read this with me. In the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, we talk about being fixed upon the foundations of God. Look at what Jesus said. In verse 21, he said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils." That's the world we're in today. "And in thy name hath we not done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now I'm going to stop right there for a second. To me, that is one of the most disturbing texts in all of the Word of God. That people can go out based upon the aspect of good works and benevolence and giving and generosity and self-sacrifice and all that, that they believe that they're in a right relationship with God. And Jesus said it is not possible outside of the blood sacrifice. Acknowledging who we are as sinners and asking God to come in and cleanse us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But in that context of Jesus saying there are going to be these people who do these works, who do these things, and they're going to be so sadly mistaken when they find out they've missed heaven. I want you to look at this as he ends the Sermon on the Mount. He goes on. Now in verse 24, the first word is therefore. So therefore ties into what was before it. It's a different way of connecting this next thought to the previous thought. And in verse 24, he says, therefore, now think about this. These are people that missed heaven that he's just talking about. I never knew you. Depart from me, you know, the workers of iniquity. And in verse 24, he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Folks, I'm going to tell you that when we begin to look at what David had said, my foundation, your foundation, is fixed in God's Word. You think about all the things that are going on, and the pastor called it out this morning. People, when it's convenient to them, will reach for the Word of God and say, does the Scripture not say? And if we're not careful, they'll lure us into an expectation or a belief that they know something about the Word of God. But if you can't take it from cover to cover, and you can't look at it in all of the precepts that are presented, if you can't look at it in all of the doctrine that's been given to us through the Word of God, then you're taking it out of context. But I'm telling you that I can look towards heaven and believe tonight that my foundation, that my rock, my everything, my essence in life is founded upon God's Word. And that really is true. I think about three things in my life that I would tell you and encourage you in. This rock, this foundation that God has given us. The first one is doctrine. It was several years ago when we were at Still Creek. I had Brother John Craddock. He came in and preached for us. And he came in and did a little revival service, pastor, and wonderful. But I'll never forget the first night he preached. He started off with this, and I wish I still had the tape of the service, but he said that Jesus was a Big B Baptist. That was his message. Jesus was a Big B Baptist, and he began to go through the doctrinal principles and practices that Jesus had committed and he'd shared. And the man was not only right on track, but I mean, it was just a brilliant message. And he talked about the fact that there are a lot of other denominations, a lot of other churches and what have you. But when you begin to look doctrinally at what God has given us in his Word, the Baptist church lines up with the Word of God. And I'm telling you that the doctrine that we need to have our families the way that God would have them to be, to understand what the salvation plan of God is, to understand that Jesus is coming again. He's going to take his church to heaven. And we're going to miss this thing called the tribulation. Actually, we're not going to miss it at all. He's going to take us out. We won't experience it any at all. But folks, I'm telling you that when we begin to look at the Word of God, it is complete. It is the roadmap. It is everything that we need in our life. Is it any wonder that the Word of God says, let us hide his Word in our heart that we might not sin against him? You want to do better for God? You want to be better at what God has called you to do? Get into his Word. In the world around us today, and I appreciate this, I love our Sure Foundations class. I do, Pastor. If you ever, if they ever wanted to leave me, I'd have to offer money to stay. You know, when you come to class, I'll give you $5. I have to borrow it, but, I'll give you $5. I love our class. Why? Because we dig into the foundation of God's Word. I get a chance to sit in here and hear Brother John, and used to be Brother Brian, and the teaching that's on the website, and Brother Thurman. And folks, when we begin to get into God's Word, it excites us. It encourages us. It challenges us. And it puts us on that path where we might become the person that God has called us to be. We can look towards heaven and we can say that we're fixed upon God's Word, and it helps us in doctrine. The second thing is I think it helps us in discipleship. I was talking with Brother Coulter today. He came over and we had a little fellowship thing, and he was talking about different things, Pastor. I know he's a big guy, and he's just got the anointing of the Lord all over him. But he's still young in a lot of ways. And he was saying, how would we deal with this, and how do you address this? And he's looking to you very much as his mentor, to help him in this path as he goes forward. And I have told this to our Sure Foundations class, and I would encourage everybody that's here, you need a mentor in your life at some point. Yes? Someone that helps you to understand, what is it that God would have me to do? How do I interpret this scripture in the Word of God? How do I apply this to my life? How do I get to be the next better version of who it is that God has called me to be. The rock, the foundation of God's Word. As Jesus said, those that hear His Word and apply it to their life and put down the strong foundations that when the storms come, and I look out upon this congregation, the storms come. Brother David had made me aware a few weeks ago of a person he works with, and the granddaughter was born and had a very difficult birth and had surgery and had difficult things, Pastor. And he told me tonight, you know, that the little girl didn't make it, only a few months, old. Let me tell you what, I'm a pretty easy guy, easygoing guy in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of things I truly hate. But let me tell you this, I hate a coffin that is 2 feet long. You understand what I'm saying? I hate those coffins. Now, Brother David, that family will see that little girl again in heaven. But folks, I don't like it that it's like that here on earth. And when people like that, Brother Benoit, they come to the point where they're broken and hurt and what have you, and they look towards you, it's a time to love on them and to encourage them. And like Jesus did to his followers, to be a leader, to disciple them, as it were. Isn't it amazing? The love of God was manifest upon that beautiful day when the sun came up and the stone had been rolled away and Jesus had come forward. And what was it the angel said? Go tell the disciples and Peter. When Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I touch him, Jesus said, touch it. You know, Jesus said, and listen, folks, when people are hurting, it's a time for us to disciple them. And we do it with our faith fixed upon the things of God. So our foundation is fixed upon the Word of God in our doctrine, in our discipleship. And I'm going to give you a strange one here. The third one in this point is, you know, we got to be careful about the aspect of debt. Did he actually say that? I did. D-E-B-T. Debt. We live in a world around us today that is so blessed. Brother Sam Lane and I were talking about that in the foyer on the way in about the generations and about how many nice things that we have in the world around us today. But you ever stop and think about the fact that Paul, talking to Timothy, said that the love of money was the root of all evil? One of the things that's facing the church today and young families and people that want to serve Christ is, if we're not careful, the devil will lure us into a place where we get into such bondage that it becomes difficult for us to follow God in the path that He's chosen for us. That's the truth. I thank God for Brother Coulter, and we were talking today about the things that are going to need to happen before he becomes able to commit to where he needs to be. He's perfectly on track. You know, God's got His hand on all of that. But I wonder how many people, Pastor, would like to do something that God has called them to do, and they feel like they're just in bondage. We had a missionary, the church knows him, I won't call his name, years ago he came to Steel Creek, and he had a great job, and he was a leader in the business that he was in, and he and his family were doing well. And Pastor, he said, I'm going to leave that behind so that I can take my family to the mission field. And I always look forward to getting the reports of those that have been, their lives have been changed because of his willingness to go out. He left behind the nice things. And he left behind the burdens, as it were, of the world, that he might follow the Lord Jesus. So, three things. David said our salvation is, or he said my heart is fixed. And we looked at the idea of the foundations, the salvation of God fixed in Christ alone. And we looked at the idea of our foundation, our life being fixed upon God's Word. And about how the wise man, he hears, he does, he stands, he disciples, as it were. And the third I would give you this evening is the desire, and my desire specifically, is fixed upon serving God. I want you to look in the Psalms, the 57th Psalms, and we're going to read those last four verses again. David was in a difficult place. I mean, you know, really, quite frankly, there was no reasonable way that he would ever escape this outside of God's goodness to him. And he said, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake, psaltery and harp, and I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing unto thee among the nation. For thy mercy is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. let thy glory be above all the earth. You think about this man who wrote this, this young man at that point, David. He came from being the son that nobody believed could ever even be considered to be king, right? To being called out from among the sheep, where he had been doing that, to go onto the battlefield to face a Philistine giant that was, you know, 9+ feet tall, who was a monster, as it were, taking him out, to becoming a servant, as it were, to Saul, to being a warrior, to being a king, to being the man who, yes, he made mistakes, he had sin in his life, but he was the man that God allowed him to put together the materials that would be needed to build the temple. You think about the things that David did in his life. And David, in one of his most difficult circumstances, said, I will sing and I will give praise. Folks, I tell you, in my own life, I believe in your life, in David's life certainly, the third point is that my desire is fixed upon serving God. Serving God. Every one of us is called to a servant's position. You may or may not like that. Maybe you feel like you're called to a position of leadership, and that's great, and I hope that the Lord helps you to achieve those things. We need strong leaders. But every one of us is called in some fashion to serve God in the community around us. He did not call us to sink away into some back room someplace and just be, you know, part of the tapestry. You think about this idea of service. Servant's heart, having a purpose. And the definition of service is the act of doing something, performing a task. And God has a unique calling for every one of us. And I look around the room, I look around the church, and I thank God for those who have taken care of the finances and led the singing and looked after, you know, the well-being of the church and led the church and played the bass guitar and played the piano, you know, so beautifully and went to the jails, Wayne. God has called you to do something that you are uniquely qualified for. And by the way, I do think that there's a strong alignment between the skills that God gives us in some fashion. Now, he's going to push us to be uncomfortable in certain areas and the things that you know that we're probably not well suited for. I can tell you that I am not called to paint the steeple upon this church. That is, unless you could put me in a white suit, dip me in a bucket of paint, and I could hold it like this, you know, and go around. I don't deal well with heights and all that, and that was before the knee went. But God has called me to do other things. And I want to tell you this from the depths of my heart, and Cindy went through this with me, she and Chloe and the boys. The pastor, when I left the place and took early retirement, I was really transitioning. I'm not retired. I've got to find another job, and all that's going to work itself out. I'm not saying that, but I was called to do a level of service I could not do under the current circumstances. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I knew that God was working with my heart. The door was open for me to do something different. Man, I was going good, Pastor. I was going great. And then on October the 15th, I encountered gravity. And I've told the pastor several times that Jesus gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave, but he left me here to deal with gravity. And gravity is my enemy. And for roughly about 120 days, we'll say, and the first month and a half of that, first 2 months of that, I sat in that leather prison. And I wondered, Pastor, what have I done? I was on the path. I was ready to go. You know, God, I'd made these plans. I'd taken this training. All those scary things that were out there in front of me, I was facing them. And, you know, really what it came down to, Pastor, is I wasn't in trouble. I wasn't being chastised by God, but I was a bit out of his will because I was doing it a bit in my own plans. And God waited on me. He wanted me to wait on him, you understand? To say that we do these things for the glory of Christ. We're called to serve, not to bring attention to ourselves, and that certainly wasn't my desire. But we're called to do these unique things that we will bring glory and attention only to the Son of God. God doesn't share his glory with anybody. He wants us to do things in his pattern, in his way, and what have you. And Brother Vinoy, I can tell you that when I finally got back up out of that chair and the knee started to work again and the surgery was behind me and I removed that bionic brace that I had and all that kind of stuff, man, I was ready to bend that knee in any path that God would lead me to. And when I began to work with the people in the hospital, I really had never been down, you know, to a certain degree. Everybody gets sick, but I'd never really had to, I'd never had any surgery or that kind of thing. I was more of the person that God would have me to be in that service. When I went to the prison and I hobbled the first few times, you know, down those stairs, I was much more ready, Pastor, to listen to them as they began to talk about the hurt that they had in their world. As we went to the homeless, I began to understand what it was for someone to be in pain and miserable and these things, and the heart was ready to serve them. And folks, I'm going to tell you today that in your life, you need to have your heart fixed upon the service that you would do to God. You may think it's simple and inconsequential, that nobody really cares. I'm going to tell you absolutely today that you are wrong. She's not here tonight, but we had the privilege of having Miss Liz White go with us to Salvation Army. And I was kidding when I said she was going to take over. But she loved it, Pastor. And it wasn't just that she was giving someone some food. She was interacting with them. She was talking with people about how things were. She was encouraging them. And they were helping her to understand the blessings that God has given to most of us. Folks, you have a purpose here tonight. And you need to know what it is. And I will absolutely challenge you this evening that if you don't know what God is calling you to do, you ought to ask Him. He's going to give you something you're uniquely qualified for, to do for the cause of Christ. Several years ago, I heard Brother Billy Mitchell preach, and he talked about going to a little church someplace. Y'all may remember this. And he said that there were a lot of people there at the church, and he asked the pastor, and I'm getting the details a little off on this pastor, but he asked the pastor, he said, "Where did all these people come from?" And he said, "I want to introduce you to the lady that helped win these people." And there was a woman who had become somewhat bedridden. She was not able to go out and do this, but she would call people on the phone and talk with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. She was unable to go knock at somebody's door, but she could ring their phone and invite them to church. Our purpose is not always in the things that we can see today. At this time when David was being pursued by Saul and the armies were upon him, do you think he was saying, "Wow, how great my life is. I was in the field. I took out the bear and wow, they all cheered for me when I went and got Goliath. And now King Saul wants me dead." He probably wasn't thinking his life was real great. But God had a purpose for him, a calling for him, a level of service that was beyond what he could see. And I think that's the case for most of us. When my friend, Brother Roger Penix, when they had his funeral, they had rows marked off, and they had preachers that came in from different churches, and people testified. And they testified, Pastor, about how he loved the Lord Jesus and about how he served him faithfully for 45 years as the pastor of that church and went on. And he followed God when his knee didn't work, and when he had a surgery, and when they thought he would die from this, and all these difficult things, he stayed on his purpose. David stayed upon his purpose. I really pray that Steve will stay upon his purpose, and that my life can be fixed upon this desire to serve God and to become the person that God would be able to use to show others the meaning of Christ. I know it's a simple thing, but folks, these C-52 cards, the opportunity to minister to someone through Salvation Army, you know, just vacation Bible school and the quilting ministry that these ladies do. Pastor, there's so many rich opportunities to talk about how great God is, to demonstrate Him upon our life, to show that we are fixed upon Him, that our heart, like David's, will call out to God, not only in the time of trouble, but that we'll praise Him, we'll worship Him, that we will awake, that we will glorify God, that we will exalt His holy name in the world around us today. Why? Because, church, if we don't get it done, the next line of defense is the rocks. God has placed us here that we might glorify the Savior who is truly worthy and to demonstrate our fixed heart upon Him. Is Christ your personal Savior? Is your entire life founded to the things that God has called you to do? Is your desire, you know, aligned with what God would have you to be? Are we founded upon His Word? Real simple questions tonight. But man, powerful, powerful, powerful answers. Would you pray with me? Lord, I do thank You for the privilege to stand here this evening. Lord, I thank You for the spirit that we felt. God, just who knows how many days that we have left. The world's all messed up. Lord, people are mad at each other. So much lies that are perpetuated. The truth is battled. Lord, most of the world not following the cause of Christ. No interest in the Word of God. Lord, viruses and earthquakes and tidal waves and all these things. Lord, we know that Jesus is coming again soon. Lord, You have left us here in these last days that we might be the witness of what God does to a changed life. Give us, Lord, the courage that David had when he lifted up his eyes and said, "My heart is fixed upon the goodness of God." What greater thing could we ever have confidence in? It's not money. It's not health. It's not power. It's not political leverage and all that. It's God, the One who created this earth and gave us His Son to die for our sins. We can look towards heaven and say, "Lord, we want to fix our heart completely upon You." Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. I thank You for what You've done in my life, my family's life. God, You've just been so good to us. Is it any wonder that we talk about falling at Your knees, Lord, falling on our knees to fall at Your feet, to worship for 10,000 years, and then we still won't be able to say thank You quite enough. Lord, be with all that's said and done here this evening, we pray. Amen.